This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to have to push Cole Hamels back to 120 because Corey demanded the C block happen. He says, Cole Hamels goes at 120 or I don't go at all. We caved to his demands.
Thank you.
And it is time for the C block starring Corey Majors.
All right. I'm gonna say this real quickly.
Go slow.
I feel like if I said, what are your top three things that you're most excited about for this Rangers season?
Wyatt.
Okay.
Effin Langford.
Everybody in this room is going to say Wyatt Langford is one of them. So I'm going to say,
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to say we're going to leave Wyatt Langford off the list on this. Okay. So you can't say Wyatt Langford because, Mike, do we all agree that Wyatt Langford is an exciting thing for this season?
Cannot wait.
Okay. All right.
For 600 ABs. 162 RBIs?
Hey, one RBI is a game.
Yeah, it's only one a game, if you
that
think about it.
Would be crazy.
Remember whenever we
Juan
thought
Gonzalez
that...
Gonzalez did it.
Remember we thought that Profar was going to have...
I did not think
two
that.
Grand Slams every other game.
You thought that.
I demanded it.
Confusing. I like
I was
that.
Sold that. So, and then we were told by our producer at the time that we got his brother, Bazinga Profar. And that was a wild moment.
Bazinga?
It's a long story. So he texted us and said,
does
hey,
you have a brother named Bazinga?
He said, we just got Profar's brother. And then he said, Bazinga. And I was like, that's his name? Is Bazinga Profar?
Don't you call like something else Bazingas?
No, that's something different. I see where you're going with that. That's from, what's the science show?
Big Bang Theory.
Thanks,
you guys.
Well, with that young being Sheldon. Said, I just want to give this quick, bold prediction. Wyatt Langford will hit his first home run on his first AB.
Oh, my God.
On his first opening day.
I will spend $1,000 on eBay if that happens.
He'll be up in the... be like, eBay.
I'm just calling it now, and it's going to go to one of the bullpens.
That would be freaking amazing.
All right. I'm interested. I'm listening tonight specifically for that moment.
And like, if he doesn't hit the home run his first at bat, he will have one, though, today.
Okay. That is a must-listen moment. And I think Wyatt Langford at this point has become a must. You got to be around whenever he's up at the plate.
Yeah.
You know, like Juan Gonzalez was that kind of guy. I feel like Josh Hamilton was that kind of guy. Everybody's eyes were, oh.
When somebody's got this kind of hype, of course. I think you don't, like, here he is. This is part of the future. I mean, we've got such a good young core that's here now. This is one of those guys that's like, all right. Let's see the next one, and here it is.
And what's pretty amazing about that is you already have two, at least, with Corey Seager and Adolis, where you feel like you have to see what they're about to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And then Evan Carter, you're just like, it's like watching a teacher, a professor, a tenured professor go up to the plate, and he's like, no, umpire, that was not a strike, idiot. And then he just waits for his moment to be on base. But I do feel like you already have that with Seager and Adolis. And then adding Langford now, if he continues to do what Mike's been talking about, he will be a must-watch.
Derek, now that there's 122 at-bats for Evan Carter, including playoffs, he has only a 9% chase rate, which is the best in baseball, but it's a limited sample size. I was watching MLB Network, and they're like, look, this is enough of a sample size that pitchers are now going to attack the middle of the zone with him because they know if you attack the edges and miss, he just takes. He has an unbelievable eye. If you were pitching, would you kind of look at a number like that and go, look, if you want him to swing at balls, he won't. But he's a 171 batter with two strikes. Would that tell you, I have to attack Evan Carter? Why am I? He's not going to swing at the edges. He's not a normal young guy that's aggressive. I need to attack him. And if I get to two strikes, he's a 171 hitter.
Yeah, I mean, you have to attack guys like that have such a great plate discipline or knowing the zone. But for me, I mean, that's tough for me to really ask it because I'm a guy that pitches in. It's left on left. That's my strength without a doubt. But, I mean, watching all the other guys, yeah, you have to be more aggressive with him. And then once you get to two strikes, now we can kind of mess around. But you can't mess around too much because he is very good at working the count and getting to, as they call him, Mr. 3-2.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch, though. That's something to watch to see how pitchers attack Evan Carter and go, look, we're going to more attack the middle of the plate and just see if he wants to be patient and get to two strikes.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, I will start with you.
Okay.
What are your top three things, aside from Wyatt Langford, that you're most excited about to see from the Rangers this season?
Okay, I might have a question as to if this counts.
Okay.
Can it be all the hoopla surrounding being the defending world champions and hosting the All-Star game? Because, like, for example,
I love that. Yeah.
The Texas Rangers now have an exhibit up with stuff from the 2023 World Series and the 1995 All-Star game.
Dope.
And, like, I realize that's not necessarily an on-the-field part of it. I think it's unbelievable. And I think it's super cool that you can be like, hey, by the way, we're also hosting this year's All-Star game. Did you get to go last time? Here's some stuff. Here's the trophy we gave to Jeff Conine. Do you remember him? And they have the final ball that Josh Spores threw to get the strikeout on Marte to win the World Series. So all of that hoopla and pageantry that you can see at any point throughout the year, that's probably my number one.
Does Boach have to go to, like, do shifts in that museum that
exhibit?
He has
the push broom.
He's just kind of in a glass case. He just kind of sits there in a glass case for a couple hours, and he's like, all right, I'm done. All right, guys.
Don't you view him more as, like, the grizzled janitor pushing stuff around there?
He's probably helped build it, you know? Okay.
I could see that.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And I am going to go, and I'm not trying to steal Mike's thunder. I am super excited to see an entire season of Evan Carter. If this was what you saw in the minors coming up, and you just remember when he was drafted, people on the set were making fun of that pick and be like, I don't even know who that is. And to see his quick ascension through the minors, to see an entire season after what you saw in the playoffs, I'm pumped about that. And I am pumped about seeing Dane Dunning work out his new pitch, because I feel like people have already just been like, oh yeah, no, he's fine. And I'm like, he's a cheap pitcher that you control, and he's a great person to talk to, and he's got skills.
Yeah, he is really fun to talk to. Absolutely. He didn't even call Mike Mr. Mike this time. It was really cool.
I'm
not
sad
Mr.
About
Mike
that.
Anymore.
Yeah,
I'm sad about that.
Now I'm going to go to me in the C block for my top three things that I'm most excited to see this year. Number three, defense, baby. This team plays fantastic defense. Their outfielders can fly. Their infielders, like you saw during the playoffs, how many times their infielders make huge plays. And as a pitcher, that's got to feel so good to be on the mound and see that, watch those plays happen. You're getting the fist pump and you're moving and everything. So I'm ready to see more championship defense. Number two, Boach interviews. We have Boachy every week right here on 105.3 The Fan. I love talking to that man. He is fantastic. And then number one, Adolis versus Houston.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, we get it seven times yes. to start the year.
I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but just the fact that that gets to happen again. Now, Maldonado's not there, so I don't know, because it seems like when he's at the plate, those two are, you know, without talking, looking at each other, they're talking to each other, and then they finally go chest to chest.
And Semien, too.
But, yeah, that too. Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking forward to defense, Boach interviews, and Adolis versus Houston. Derek, I will now take it to you. Your top three most exciting things for this season.
One, I got to put it right out the gate, as I'm excited to see what this offense does. I know the hype, obviously, with Wyatt, but I want to see how Boachy sets this lineup. He's got so many great options in there. There's not an easy out at all throughout this entire lineup. This is a this is a tough lineup right here. And
they scored 27 in the first two games last year against Philadelphia.
And that's the thing. It stands out. And then on top of it, too, I'm excited more to watch Cody Bradford. I want to watch him as a starter. I want to see how he develops into this role. And I want to see how hungry he is. You know, you get this opportunity. You don't know how long it's going to get to last because of the other guys that we're waiting on. So you got to try to capitalize as much as you can. Show that you don't want to be a bullpen guy. Show you want to be a starter. So I'm curious to see how he does. And my third is I'm excited to see what the pitching side can do. What they can do. I know we question it, whether can they get the job done and health and all that. We've got a few big stretches right out the gate, so that's where I want to see how do they respond.
Mike, all three of us have now gone.
Yeah. So what's left?
And therefore, in the C block here, I could go to Rigo or I could go to you.
Bullpen.
I'm going to go straight to you, Mike Bacsik.
I'm looking at Yates and Robertson. Those were two of the veteran guys, the main two veteran guys to help out the bullpen in the seventh and eighth inning. So last year, factually, it was the worst bullpen in the history of baseball for a team that played 500 or better.
Yeah,
I'm not making that up.
You're right.
But I thought they started off hot, though, right?
They did start off better, but things got bad.
Yeah, I know that. That's why I was just throwing that in there, too.
So over the whole season, that was there. They got Yates and Robertson in the offseason to help out with, because a blown save doesn't just have to happen in the ninth inning. It can happen in, obviously, the sixth, seventh, eighth inning. So you look at it and go, I don't know if it can happen in the sixth inning after I just said that. I think it's only seventh and eighth because it's not a save opportunity until you get to the seventh. But I'm looking at those guys and I'm saying, can they, at their age, can they really, really contribute to holding games / saving games if you need them to close out a game if Leclerc isn't closing the game that time? I'm going to add another person in there. Maybe this is just number two because I'm trying to stay away from what you guys said. I agree with everything you guys said. Is Spores the September-October Spores?
Because if he is...
great.
Yes.
But if he isn't...
Did he struggle this spring?
He didn't have the best spring, I'll say that.
Okay.
But, hey, it's all zeros now.
Yep, exactly.
And I wonder this. For the two older guys, and Derek, you've been an older guy in spring training. I wasn't even good enough to be an older guy in spring training. I wondered when Robertson and Yates were coming in. They're just like, look, I'm just getting in my work. I've been with veteran guys in spring training. It's tough for them sometimes to have a great spring training as a veteran bullpen guy because there's just no adrenaline rush. There's nothing on the line, and they need something on the line to really perform at their best.
Yeah, that's why I never get caught up in spring. That's why I didn't even really watch. I literally called Mike last night and was like, hey, give me a little bit on the spring training because I don't care to watch or any of that.
Right.
To me, as a pitcher, you're there to work on stuff and get yourself prepared for the season when it really matters. There's no Cy Youngs. There's no MVPs or anything like that of spring training. So when you get guys like Yates and Robertson, they're just out there to get themselves ready to go for once that time happens. And that's why I'm curious, too, is who is the true closer? You guys are going to know better than I do. So I don't know who our true closer is. Does it still stay with Leclerc? Does it go to Spores?
So.
I mean, Robertson's got closer stuff. Yates is a closer.
What's interesting is Bochy, you told us last year, you were so like, he goes with the hot hand.
100%.
And I thought at some point, I felt like Leclerc was going to get a shot there, but they stuck with Spores in the rest of that game.
My last thing, because I know we want to break here to get to Cole Hamels, is how will the DH be used throughout the season? We've discussed it. I think it'll be a rotating DH. So that will be interesting as the season progresses on how we see Bochy use his 9 or 10 guys or even 11 guys on this team.
With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, excellent edition of the C Block Big Shock. Coming up next, this time we really will talk with Cole Hamels and ask the questions that matter, like will he still be an ace in 3 years? We will find out next right here on The Fan.
One today. Got him swinging. Hamels with his sixth strikeout of the afternoon as he sends Seager packing.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. former All-Star, World Series MVP, and Texas Rangers ace. It is Cole Hamels. Good afternoon, sir, and happy opening day.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. I think the pressing question we all have at first is, why exactly are you friends with Derek Holland?
Well, entertainment first and foremost. He's one of the most quality guys that I've ever been around. And, you know, just to kind of be able to, you know, not only share a locker room and be a teammate, I really enjoy his company outside of, you know, the baseball aspect and, you know, just how giving he is in the community. And I think that's what you really do is you really look for good people to be friends with. And, you know, there's trust and there's respect. And that's something that Derek and I definitely share. And that's why we hang out a lot.
What a delightful answer that was. Good for you, Derek.
What a best friend. He said the same thing about you, Cole.
Yeah, he did. He did. We talk with a lot of the guys at spring training. And for the fans, we're super amped about being the defending world champions. But to a man, the players were like, that was awesome. That was last year. How tough is it that to put it out of your mind and just be like, this is a new season. Last year is irrelevant, even if it was cool.
It is. I mean, that's the great thing about sports is every year you get to start over and be fresh. And I think that's just the competitiveness that you have is you're always aspiring to be better than last year or you're aspiring to repeat. And I think just being able to have that, this is how you judge and you see what type of athlete you are and how good of a team you are. And I know that goes to management. There's a lot of aspects, but, you know, for Texas, you know, I've been in that situation, you know, when you also now have a bullseye, that's what it tests what you're all about and how good you can actually be. So I sometimes relished with that factor because I wanted to be the best, and I know it doesn't last forever. So you need to aspire and accept those challenges to repeat and to, you know, set the record straight in a way that, you know, this wasn't a fluke. We are a really good team.
Yeah, Cole, it's Derek, your best friend. I just wanted to put out there.
So you had to introduce yourself to him?
Yeah, does he not know who you are? Are you? Is he your best friend, but Cole's not your best friend?
No, we're best friends. You're just jealous, Mike. You don't have cool best friends. Cole, you've been around like rookies and stuff when they get first called up and everything. And in this situation, you know, got a guy jumping into the rotation with Cody Bradford. He's a lefty. Kind of similar to how you are in a way with how he pitches. Do you feel like, or actually I should say, what would you say to him going into this season now that he's becoming somebody that's in the rotation?
I think it's great. I think this is a really good test for him. And at the same point, he's got really good starting pitchers around him. So it doesn't have to worry about having all the pressure of trying to be the man, trying to have to carry a team. He's going to learn a lot from those veterans. And I think that's what Texas did a really good job with is getting the right type of veterans to give that push. And I think this is really what will help set him at ease while he goes out and competes and learns how to be really good at as a starter.
Cole, what I remember from y'all's Phillies teams when you guys were kicking my butt is you guys were great in the second half. You guys were, I mean, nothing against you guys, but you guys were average, it seemed like, in the first half, but then really took off in the second half. What was that trait that you guys had that you were able to, Jimmy Rollins and Utley and Howard and, you know, a whole bunch of other guys, really play your best down the stretch?
You're so right. And I really do think that was something where we knew we needed to maintain. I mean, it's kind of, it's a horse race. It's a marathon. You want to stay in the pack all the way through. You want to stay healthy. And then all of a sudden after that All-Star break, it's like we all came together and looked at each other and we said, all right, it's go time. Now let's not hold back. And we all had that mentality. And I think when you do it together as a team, oh my gosh, then you explode. And that was just guys just going, all right, we saved enough. Now we're here for the sprint. Let's go.
Do you feel as, you know, you guys were in the World Series, you win. Going into the next season, do you feel there was a difference in how you started out with the rotation stuff, like pitch counts and all that stuff? Did you guys do something different or did you guys just kind of stay the same as, you know what, that's already past us. We got enough rest. We should be good to go.
No, because I mean, I think I completely stunk in April. My elbow was sore, and there was something. I put a little too much. I didn't come in the best shape, and that was my fault completely. And so I think it is. The coaches definitely kind of saw that. And they kind of worked around, and that's why then they added a big, two big pieces, when Cliff Lee and Pedro Martinez at the trade deadline. So, we were trying to get through, and I think we had a little bit of, wear and tear. And then once we added those big pieces, it's like that almost rejuvenated us and kind of kicked us in gear a little bit. We're like, all right, let's go. We've got to get going.
This quote from Carlos Beltran when he got traded from the Yankees to Texas always stuck with me, and it was, in New York, there's all the other stuff. In Texas, it seems like it's just about baseball, and you put on the jersey for some pretty storied franchises. What was the difference in Philly, Chicago than it was from Texas?
I just think the division, being able to be in that Texas division, you're going out to, yes, I know it's hot in Texas, but I feel like all the other teams that you're playing in division are, it's either a dome or it's perfect California weather. So, it's, you really got to just enjoy being at the baseball field and, not having the sort of big cities of Boston and New York and kind of that pressure. And so you really got to kind of come together in the clubhouse and enjoy yourselves off and just really kind of get into the baseball environment without having a lot of that extra added noise. And you got to work a lot more. And I think that's kind of what guys, just like you really got to focus more on baseball.
We got to see Nathan Eovaldi get into some jams, but get out of them. And then we were listening to Randy Johnson recently talk about, hey, guys don't get that opportunity. A lot of times they'll just get pulled out of it. Yeah. And I don't want to talk too much about like the analytics part of it, but what did you learn about yourself whenever you got out of jams? And did you feel like you accomplished more from that?
100%. And Eovaldi came up when we were still allowed to get out of jams. I know that transition has kind of happened ever since probably, I want to say the 19 and 20 seasons is when things kind of really changed. You have to get in those situations. You have to, and the management has to trust you that, sometimes it is. We're not winning 162 games. I know you don't want to give them away, but if it's a valuable lesson that you feel, all right, this could go wrong, but you know what? He's going to learn something that, yes, if we do lose this game, he's possibly going to win three more games now because of this lesson, and he's going to win playoff games. And I'd rather take that over anything opposed to just always being scared.
Could you say that last part one more time for my co-host who wants us to go 162?
Yeah, I
want to
go 162-0, Cole.
Sorry, if you want to bet on that in Vegas, good luck. I'll take that bet against you that you won't.
All right. A gentleman's bet of $1.
Yeah, exactly. It would be great, wouldn't it be?
It would.
Cole, I was having a good conversation with another former player, and we were talking about throwing to the glove because usually when I pitched almost every time, now you have to flash a target late with a runner on second and move late, but I wanted to throw to the glove for the most part, but you see a lot of catchers now really not give a target because they're trying to work from the ground up, or they flash a target, then take it away because of how they want to frame the pitch and try to keep it in the zone and give the umpire the best look at it. Can you talk about, did you throw to the glove? Did you throw to a spot? Did you care at all if the catcher gave you a target?
So I threw to kind of imaginary lines that I had in my vision. And that's, that's what I would stand when I would stand out in the bullpen, not during my game time. And I was out on the mound and I was looking, I wouldn't have a catcher there. I looked at the corner of the plates and I had these visions of these lines, kind of like they would go up and where I wanted to start it. And that's where my vision was of where I wanted the pitch to either run through it or start at it. And then it would either cut, drop, dive. And so I had this sort of vision that's what I had to practice so that I didn't have to focus on the catcher's glove all the time. And really at the end of it, I tried to throw through the catcher. So, a glove or not, There was sign stealing. There's location stealing. That was just part of the game. So we always had game plans where, hey, don't flash the glove too early, because then, you know, the guy in second could give the inside or outside location. And, you know, I don't want that. So give it a little late. And so I had to create these imaginary lines in my line of sight that I practiced in between games. And, you know, it took a couple of years.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. I got three guys that pitch that I can really learn baseball from. This is amazing. And then I'm going to ask this question. All right. So when you would throw, when you would finish your pitch, you always stuck your thumb into your belt. It looked like you were kind of adjusting your belt. And I was just always curious, was that something that like was just like a tick, or were you trying to fix your pants? What was going on there?
Yes, because I was so skinny in the minor leagues when I came up, my pants didn't fit. And so my belt, I had, because I was so tall, and, you know, this is before like really good customization of pants. When you're looking, you go to measurements and you go line up to get measured. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. I just wanted to get out of there so fast. I didn't want to take up the veteran's time. So it's like they hand you a pair of pants, and I'm like, yeah, they fit. This is great. I'll just tighten the belt extra, a couple belt loops. So when I first came up, I was like literally trying to adjust my pants to make sure they were still fitting right. And then it just became a tick.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I always wanted to ask about that, and now I know. Awesome.
I love that answer. And now
my dad played with Gaylord Perry. That's where he kept the Vaseline.
Okay.
So all right. I was like, where are you going with this, Corey?
He had a great answer. Right.
All right. As long as we're being super honest about everything, I'm hoping that you can help us out with one more thing. Do you remember in 2015 and 16, your Rangers teammate, Sean Tolleson?
Yeah. Tolly, yeah.
What do you think about Sean Tolleson?
Oh, he's great. I mean, one of the nicest guys. I mean, that was kind of the funniest thing is he was so positive. I know with, what he had to do when you're a closer, you're always thinking closers are kind of have a little screw loose. He's super down to earth, easygoing guy, and he's more quiet than any other kind of closer I was ever around. So, that was just something. I mean, it's like he really relished in the position that he was put in. And you couldn't be near a nicer guy that you could always count on. And he's just a quality human being.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you said that.
Those are all
because
good compliments. I love it.
Sean Tolleson and Derek Holland will not admit anything between them. But when we had them on together in an interview, it was the most awkward thing you've ever been a part of in your entire life from the word go. And we just wanted to get your input because I would have thought that interview was 17 hours long because – Derek made it weird.
I mean, that's normal.
No, it's funny. I actually, Sean's brother is my kid's orthodontist. So, it's like, hey, his family's pretty good. We still stick with him. I run into him all the time. So it's been good.
He's good people. I like him a lot.
I do think he's delightful.
Well, we want to pay like $2,000 to golf with Derek Holland and Sean Tolleson together.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Lots of excitement.
Yeah. Yep.
What else, Derek?
Why is it got to go to me?
Well, it's on you now, man.
This is your best friend.
I know, but you
always make it awkward.
I have another question. Okay. Because you guys were talking about this off air, and Cole, I know the further you get into your career, you might be specifically working on certain things, but how much do you take from spring training? Because I have to admit, there's been some sloppy Rangers play. Not necessarily the final score. I'm not saying that. But there's been a little sloppiness that has me a little worried. How much do you take from what happens on the field in spring training?
Oh, man, I tried to have the highest ERA in spring training. I wanted to give up the most home runs. I wanted to do crazy stuff to hitters that I wouldn't do when a game was on the line to see if it would work. And if I gave up home runs, I actually wanted a hitter to kind of feel that confidence off me because I was probably going to do the complete opposite in a game. And I planned, and I think Derek, same thing. We planned to face hitters four times in a game, not two, not three, four. This guy was going to get four at-bats in a game against me. So I have to have at least a couple tricks up my sleeve in times because the stats are out there. They know game plans. So I have to try to figure out so much more to be able to get a guy out that he can't anticipate.
Fascinating.
Bingo. I told you, we don't care so much about spring training. It's more of getting prepared,
right.
Try new things, and let it go.
Yep.
So,
and a lot of it with spring training is you have to build up your pitch count. So I say, hey, guys, I got 40 pitches. I need to throw 35 fastballs today.
Bingo.
You know, I'm trying to get my velo. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw a fastball in a 3-0 count or a 2-0 count, like right down the middle. I have to get my fastballs out.
Cole, what's the difference? What's the different feeling on pitching opening day for your team versus a playoff game? Because I feel like opening day is the only day where you have kind of a playoff environment during the season.
I know, and I just wasn't that much of a fan of opening day. I love game one of a playoff. Opening day is just there's a little bit so much more prep into it that you're not in the rhythm. And I like being in the rhythm. When you get in the postseason, you already just played 162 games, so you're still in the rhythm. That opening day, that's kind of the uncertainty and the anxiety that you had. That I'm like, crap, I just want to get through opening day, so then I'm into the season. I can start my rhythm and start my routine.
Yeah, I was gonna say most guys are just...
You're almost getting used to night games again and everything. I mean, that was it's just starting to get into the baseball life.
Outstanding stuff, Cole. We really appreciate you jumping on.
Thank you very much.
And we really appreciate your friendship to our buddy Derek. He needs it. So thank you very much for that as well.
See you on the golf course soon.
Yep, I'll see you quite soon.
Bye, Cole.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's awesome.
Cole Hamels right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Dude, that was great, Derek. Good job, man.
Yeah, Derek.
You're welcome,
good job, man. I really liked when you laid out on your buddy there and threw the ball to you.
Thanks, man.
I want to see.
For anybody that wants to know why Derek hasn't come back
in a
while,
this is why.
It's because of Mike.
This is why, because you'll get into your golf group if Tolleson's there. You're like, hey, Sean, what's Derek's deal?
You know what I'm saying? I want to play so bad with you and Sean Tolleson golf. It'd be great.
I like Sean Tolleson a lot. Derek, I like you a lot. But that clash of styles, it just didn't really work.
It was fun.
Just different,
Two different people.
Yep.
Complete opposites.
Yep.
You're not Paula Abdul.
Nope.
And that
MC
like,
Scat Cat.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right.
I'm going to make this so awkward.
Oh, don't worry. I think you do by just, like, it's awesome.
By design.
Yeah. I don't know if it's by design.
Yeah. That's what you think.
Now I just want a podcast between you two because you'd have this weird battle about who can leave the most open space with nobody saying anything. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with the G-Bag Nation. They are live out at Globe Life Field for opening day. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
scores, kicks, and fires. He struck him out looking. It's over. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series. Ranger fans, you're not dreaming. The Rangers are the World Series champions. After 52 years in Texas, 63 years of the franchise, the wait is over. And the celebration has begun.
Delightful, delightful KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've been celebrating all day. Now we take you out, courtesy of D&M Leasing, to Globe Life Field to connect with those fellows from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is ya? And what was the scene like getting to the ballpark?
It was majestic, Hagee. It was a terrific experience. We're doing great. How the hell are you?
I am doing fantastic. Awesome. We got to talk with Cole Hamels.
We had
Chuck Morgan. We had Jared in studio. Derek Holland's been in studio with us all day long. It's felt like a continuation of the Rangers party we had all last year.
I've missed the foursome of all of you together, the baseball show of record. It's been a blast being able to drive around and listen to you. Chuck Morgan, when he got to introduce the World Series champions and gave Dutch number 45 some love there.
It's awesome.
That gave me some goosebumps as I was driving up to where we're supposed to park, and you see people on both sides of the road that are already tailgating. There is a line to get into the parking lot. Texas Live is crazy. This is a special, special day. I mean, it's just the feelings of almost parade day,
right,
that are just coming right back into our baseball souls.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. That's how it felt whenever I was pulling up, because there are a ton of cars and there's tents and I guess some exclusive opportunities to be already tailgating for some individuals. So it's good to see the smoke in the air and the beer has already been cracked. I mean, it is pretty lively out there, as you mentioned, right by Texas Live. So, and there's some new things about the ballpark that stand out. We are in the midst of a cool, like, brewery-style picnic bar area here on the second level where we usually are in the outfield. Like, it's turfed out. There's great seating. I'm looking for some cornhole, but this is fantastic.
And the Whataburger location looks badass. First time we got to see it. Now, it's not open yet. It'll be open for the Astros series, but it's going to be awesome. But, yeah, when you guys get to come out here for some day baseball, the Comerica backyard now is the setup where we're at.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Day baseball and honey butter, man. It gets no better.
You did say the beers have already been cracked. Does that mean our good friend Brian Broaddus has already started dipping into the cooler?
Come on,
no,
Broaddus.
I'm thinking about it right now. I was kind of looking forward to more rosin bag talk from you guys earlier. I think it was fascinating.
Thank you.
I learned a lot in that it was almost ask the pitchers. And I think the fact that you guys don't want to wear the bullpen jacket running, I think is a fascinating thing. Mike, have you ever been in one of the bullpen cars where they drive you out to the mound? Have you ever done that?
No, I don't think.
Didn't the Mets have a baseball bullpen car?
Not in 2002-03.
Oh,
I know that they've brought them back. There are a few of them around Major League Baseball now. So you'll randomly see it now in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
But obviously that was a very cool thing in, I believe, the 70s and some in the 80s.
Yeah, I think they need to bring that back, the big bullpen car. It's like a baseball with a hat. And it's, let these guys running out to the hill. No, let's just drive them out there with these carts. I think
they should bring it back. They could bring Bartolo Colon back as well, maybe extend his career.
Yeah,
is that what's missing? Is the bullpen car would bring Bartolo back, you think?
Bullpen car is missing, and pitchers that actually do want to wear their jackets when they're running the bases. I think that's a lost art. I'm really disappointed the guys I work with don't want to wear their jackets. Those are issued for a reason. Wear them, okay?
They got to make the jackets cool again.
Brian's watchdog in the damn jacket.
I just wish tonight, when it's 30 degrees outside, they make, I don't know who it is, Bobby Witt Jr. put on a jacket to run around the bases.
Mike, I think the jacket would help you. I think it would.
That could be my excuse to be like, this is why he's slow, guys.
Well, he's not really fast because he's wearing a big, heavy starter.
It's wind-aided, man.
Yeah.
The wind's catching the jacket right now. It's like a parachute on me.
Look how puffy it is.
That's why you can't leg out that infield single or whatever.
Mike, and I'm a little disappointed that they're not going to give you quality gear. you know, they were giving the front office guys that sound like better gear than you. And what you're are they, pitching in the what, game.
Oh, 100%.
You get one 100%.
When I got called up to the Texas Rangers, we went on a trip. I got called up. We were in Texas. Then we went on a trip to Detroit and Baltimore. And I was like, hey, can I get a luggage? And no. They're like, the guy who was the club, he was like, are you going to be here long enough?
Oh, my God.
And I was in my head, I was like, hey, dude, I'm going on this trip. At least give me the free luggage for this trip.
Yeah, I kind of wish I could have seen Mike at old Tiger Stadium sitting in the dugout with no jacket, no sleeves, just kind of like everybody else has got cold weather gear on, and he's got nothing. But Mike, I can't believe that they just didn't want to give you any sleeves or anything else. Like, yeah, you're a professional baseball player.
You get the team issued gear until you prove you're going to be here longer.
I love the idea of this grizzled longtime clubby who's like, I've seen him come and go, kid. You ain't got what it takes.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Take number 92.
I got your dad's old gear. Here, let's break
but
it
then,
out.
But then I'm forgetting our clubby's guy in Washington. He's a great guy. Mike was his first name. I'm just forgetting his last name. He used to work for the Rangers.
Oh.
And I almost made the team out of spring. And as it's getting to the final week, he's like, hey, what number do you want? Now today, people wear crazy numbers, but I think I was number 75 in spring training. And I was like, that SOB Jim Bowden gave me this stupid number. I'm going to wear it in the season if I make the team. And then I didn't make the team.
You showed Jim Bowden, didn't you?
Yeah.
You showed him.
Yeah, I did. As soon as I got done with one game, he goes, man, that was really good. Keep tricking him. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Thanks for having me on the team.
Hey, Mike, did you ever have to go to the pro shop to get more gear? You know, did you ever have to go?
No, but I will tell you this. I did go into like the clubby's room and steal a t-shirt one time to get an extra t-shirt.
What?
Yeah.
They got you on camera doing that, Mike.
Yeah, so I don't know. At some point, man, they might charge me $15 for the extra t-shirt I took because mine was raggedy.
What's the chances we can get Broadus to go do a segment out with the fans and maybe get a couple cold ones?
There's always that possibility.
We got to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm eyeing, trust me, walking in, I was looking at all the concession things.
Oh, there's
and
a
like
lot.
How close the jumbo beer area is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ready to get
how
in the
close
mix?
The jumbo beer is. Well, I mean, heck,
that's what I'm saying.
No,
it's right behind
it's spitting distance.
Yeah, it's right behind us.
You do need a mulligan for going wireless at spring training and the
I did
technology.
My best.
No, I know
I
it wasn't your fault.
Best.
It's technology playing defense against you, but now you have an opportunity.
I forgot to turn the mic on a couple of times.
It's not technology's fault. It's
fair.
And weren't you saying, Brian, that if it gets into the 5 o'clock hour and you haven't had a cold beer, you start like shaking a little bit?
I think being out here at opening day, I'm going to need a few.
I think he's already got the sweats. We're indoors.
Hey, I appreciate Whataburger giving me a really nice shirt, though.
You are wearing the hell out of that.
Yeah, but you're covering it with the vest.
Where are you guys set up?
I'm an old man. Yeah, an old man vest.
Where can people find you if they want to see you at the park?
At the beer stand, Heggy.
Fair enough.
Maybe even the cocktail area in the sixth inning if you really want to ask.
Hey,
I've reached out to our guy. I'll see if we can make that happen for you, Brian.
Yeah, the most northeastern portion of the stadium right here. Is this the center field entrance? Is this what you call that, Wolchuk?
Yeah, I would say so,
yeah.
Yeah, center Wolchuk field entrance, Heggy.
200 level.
And what do you guys
right
got coming up
sweet
on?
Sweet new gold lined gear. I'm gonna raid that stand. They're gonna have to restock by the time you get in here.
Very cool. What do you guys got planned for the show today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Our guy CY320, a host of other Ranger guests sprinkled throughout the show, including Bassick.
Ooh, it's gonna be an
extravaganza. I'm supposed to be there at 4:10. Is that correct, or somewhere around there?
Yeah,
whatever you show up, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out there as quick as I can. I got to drive to Las Colinas real quick, and then I'll go to Arlington.
Right on.
Thanks for that update.
Go Rangers.
Now, go see the G-Bag Nation.
I got it. John Radigan made me a really nice score sheet for the whole season.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be great. I'm going to keep score.
I'm looking forward to it.
4-6-3.
Go see the G-Bag Nation if you're out at the ballpark today. But remember, all of the Rangers festivities, including the game itself, can be heard right here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Dallas.
Buffalo
off
Wild
of
Wings!
Lemon. That's right! If you want to come see us, and huge thanks to Derek Holland today for rocking with us.
Thanks, guys. I'll be live tonight doing the game, so if you want to come hang, I'll be on Twitch.
I love it. There you go.
Man, I love it. Kevin, it is baseball time in Texas.
Hell yeah, let's go.
We're the world champs.
Rangers.
No doubt! Woo!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.